FPG Podcast Network, it's time for the year-round carnival with Vince Accardi and your host, Racetrack Rolfe.
G'day and thanks so much for getting the year-round carnival preview edition of the Railway Stakes with Vince Accardi from Daily Sexuals. G'day, Vince.
Good morning, Ralphie. What another magnificent morning, is it? Yes,
absolutely. Sort of. Well, it's 20 to 6 as we speak, so we're up and about. That's what we do here, and we've been delighted that we've had such terrific support again from our loyal customers here. The Railway Stakes, Vince, it's usually a wide open betting affair, but it's anything but, with Western Empire being the dominant favourite. Just give us the overview. How you expect Ascot to play? Rails out 3 metres.
All right. Yes. Well, this is dominant on pace, with the next best group obviously being the midfielders and the back markers at disadvantage. The big keys here, though, for the midfielders, and even to a certain extent these back markers, if they can get out into those lanes, it's pretty much 8 to 11 off the fence is the real hot lanes. 4 to 7 off the fence, you're striking around that 33% mark, but when you get into lanes 8 to 11, so that means from where the rail position is in the three, another 8 to 11 out, it gets in excess of 50%, Ralphie. So you can see it's a massive difference. Get wider than that, it's a disadvantage. So my view is most riders should be able to strike between pretty much lanes 6 and 11, and they're the golden lanes. So any horses that I guess that are looking to strike from behind, they're going to need to use that as their advantage, because if they're going to try and come up the inside hard up against the fence, to give you an idea, lanes 1 to 3, the strike rate's 1%.
Well, that in itself is an interesting starting point, given that Western Empire is such a dominant favourite and drawn barrier 3. How are you expecting the pace of this race if we're saying it's a typical railway, they just go and they go fast?
Yeah, everything indicates fast. There is a possibility where it can be downgraded. And what I mean by fast is it's going to be in excess of 5 lengths above IVR benchmark to the 8 lengths above range. It's not brutal, but it could become brutal if a couple of other runners want to sort of take a look at the front. Then we may find ourselves in that scenario. But there's also the opposite. There is this possibility that only a couple of horses are going to go forward and no one's going to challenge each other. And then we get ourselves into a situation where they'll still run 3 or 4 lengths above IVR benchmark. So there's going to be speed no matter what. There's not going to be a place where you can cuddle up and take it easy.
All right. Well, the odds-on favourite is Western Empire on our sizzlers. This is what we wrote. 3.8 lengths above benchmark, ranked best of the day. Last season's Derby winner. What a return. His PB was over a mile when a very solid 2.9. So to smash that first up after 203 days away, says he absolutely deserves top of the charts. Railway Stakes billing 3 weeks out as the data strongly suggests more to come. Minus 1.8 to the 800, sitting second line before 3.8 mid-race, 3.2 last 400. However, the last 200 increments reveal a 3.4 lengths slowdown from the 600 to 400, picking up from the 400 to 200 and last 200 while winning easily. A very good talent who is trending higher with no ceiling on him yet. Now you've had a chance to compare him with the rest of the field. What's your thoughts?
Well, there's no doubt this horse is on the rise and the indicators are pretty clear. This stable's just, they're just like, I don't even know, maybe they're better than Waller in their own way, but they're just phenomenal to get them going, especially when they're targeting races. The indicators are it's come back several lengths better. Now, I have had a discussion with Bob Peters not too long ago. He called me to discuss a few things, and we touched on this particular horse, interesting enough, and he obviously had some big views about coming to, you know, this side of the world in Melbourne, but obviously COVID and all that creates a lot of dramas. But the reality is, when I look at it, this wasn't known at that time that this horse has come back a 3 length better horse. For him, it must have been known that this horse got plenty of capability. So if that is the case, on the intel that I have, this horse has improved at least 3 lengths from last campaign. He's set to run on the low plus 6 and could easily turn out to be a plus 8 horse. So he's a serious runner. that's the challenge, right? He's a serious racehorse. Second up last campaign, he was a bit off, but it was a different campaign then, Ralph. He was off a very short break.
Yep.
And then he got him going again, and he was obviously aiming for those longer distances. But This looks like a beautiful break. I love it when I see that. It's a lengthy break, Ralphie, and that's what you should do with high-end horses and then come back and have a good campaign. If he doesn't improve on last start, he still can't be beaten. So what's his challenges? Well, speed plays a big role. They used a lot of energy first up.
Yep.
Interesting. 21 days, right? Powerful tool that, Ralphie. 21 days first up. Very, very good move to have that break. That means you really know your racehorse. His typical profile speed-wise is about 4 to 6 lengths slower than that. So I expect a fair level of speed to be out of the horse, and I can't see how he's going to get into a positive position in terms of how far from the leaders. So he's going to spot this pack a fair bit. Probably Pikey might be hoping that they just go ballistic. So then whilst the inside lanes are bad, you can save some ground and energy and give yourself a chance. But knowing Pikey and watching him with so many rides, he is the equivalent of Damien Oliver when it comes to knowing the lanes, if we're talking Victoria. And obviously, if we're talking New South Wales, like the equivalent of Bowman.
Yep.
He 100% rides his horses to the lanes. Yes. 100%. He's only when he finds himself in uncompromising situations, he won't. But he sets his horses up. Go back and watch his rides. He sets them up to be in lanes, long way out. And that's the art of a on-point rider. So he will be very aware that he has to be 6 to 10 off the fence in the home straight, and he'll be looking to see if he can set up that opportunity based on what's in front of him.
So let's unpack a couple of things there. So in saying that he's a plus six type horse, basically you're saying he's now really on point to be the best miler in the country.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Now, I've got to come back. Yep. There is this possibility that this horse maybe next year is a Cox Plate horse.
Yes.
So I'm not saying that his best distance is going to be a mile. His
I only say that as far as tomorrow goes.
Oh, yeah.
Because we've got Super Storm, we've got Private Eye. They won the two features in Melbourne and Sydney, and they're not plus six.
No. I've got this feeling he's better than them.
Right. Okay. So that's a good start. But secondly, then, for our listeners, it's probably about $1.80, maybe $1.75 if you're looking around. That's a short price. And for what you described, it's an inside barrier too. So I suppose on talent, you're saying you really just don't see why he should be beaten. But inside barrier, big field, is there a traffic concern?
There always is. So for my mindset, if you're looking at it from the art of betting, there's three slots the way I look at it. It's just a very simple process. This runner's going to take one.
Yep.
So no matter what happens, all you're left with is two. And so this is always becomes a trap, right? The trap is, well, no matter who marks it, how they mark it, no one might not be able to mark the horse that short or that much shorter.
Yes.
For people that want to bet it. And then all of a sudden, the value is going to be everywhere else. But they're only chasing two possible slots. Now, yes, one of them could be a victory.
Yep.
But you've got to realise that even though we're talking about a bias, this horse has probably got three lengths on the field. Right. So how do you deal with that?
And also, let's put on the table, we expect people who have bought this to be taking multi. So we'll also break down a few other options there. But sure. Really what you're saying on talent is this horse has got a gap.
He's got a gap. He's got to not turn up. He's got to have some horrendous problems. Very hard to see Pikey making those sort of errors. He's just bulletproof.
Terrific. All right. Ascot 2 weeks ago, Massimo beat Vela Road and Dance Music, and that was a pretty nice time there. So you've got Massimo second most advantage. It was a good pressure race, and Massimo led throughout. How are you lining up his chances tomorrow?
He's got to be some sort of a challenge at a mile.
Yep.
Now, when I look at the numbers, he probably hasn't had all the perfect setups. And what I mean by setup is sometimes this is part of the illusion of when you see. I'll give you an example. Belmont, the 12th of June, 1,600 metres. He gets beaten less than a length. Now, any way you look at it from a form point of view, say 100% he's going to get the distance, right? if you looked at it from that point of view, he's been beaten less than a length. And he had one run at Northern where he got completely carved up. And then he had a victory over 1650 back in 2020. So that all spells you're going to get the distance. But I say this. Yes, that's true, depending on how the race is set up. Now, the day where he got beaten less than a length, his first section was 9.3 lengths below benchmark. In the mid, he's made that good move of around 10.5 lengths. His closing speed was 2.6 above, but what I noticed mostly was it was a massive drop-off over the last 200 metres of around 2.5 lengths, and that came just from one explosion where he did nothing. Yep. That's not a good sign, right? That is not a good sign. The day when he won at Belmont over 1650, and again, you see, you've got to come back to understanding when it doesn't matter whether people are using ratings, other types of tools, and you're looking at all these class variables, you've got to come back to the hardcore, right? Just because this is the static number, you've got a figure there showing that you've won at this distance or been close to winning, you have to look at what level. And that when he won the Belmont race, he went virtually benchmark first section, which is a super cruisy speed for this horse, but he had no finish. His last 200 was minus 5, Ralphie. So what that gave me the insight to understand is I was able to look at the two variables. Now, let's put the third scenario in. Let's say he's going to be part of this lead pack and we're going to run 3-5. The day he went to Northern, he went 4.5 lengths above benchmark first section. He ran his last 400 in minus 15, but again, it's all over the last 200. He loses nearly 12 lengths. So this is why there's got to be a level of caution. Now, class-wise, no question, he's top three.
And that would be why it's in your early edition, so you'll be refining that from there.
Yep.
So at the moment, what you're saying basically is that on paces, do look vulnerable in a high-pressure situation.
Yeah, so I'm trying to work out, is there a possibility of no speed? I can't see it. So
yes.
One has to be cautious. And you can see he's on the outer edge of the market. And who knows? Maybe they'll take a different tack. Maybe they'll want to take a sit and they'll try for a different tactic. But either way, he's got his challenges.
Well, one that interests me at big odds for multis is Captain Chaos, because this Northern run, this was a brutal race. And they've absolutely flown. The lead speed there was 15 lengths above benchmark. Guess where all the on-paces finished. So does that say that possibly he had a level of flatness last Saturday and he's on the quick backup?
Well, there's no doubt I'm with you, Ralphie, that there was a level of flatness going into the last run. You could just see that exchange through the first section. It was one of his slowest three in his career. Oh, if you bring in that very first maiden run. So it was at the bottom end of the scale for him speed-wise, going four lengths below. That was almost 12 lengths slower. But there was no denying his capacity between the 8 and the 4 and the last 400 was just sensational. Question mark with him is this, though. Looking at the stable, the strategy, the drop-off over the very last 200 metres, you see that tail-off, Ralphie, of 1.5. That wasn't a conditioning. That could be end of prep run.
Right. So he's had a real big monster PB, flat last week, but flat not so far as off that big run. It's just you're tapering.
So what happens is this, Ralphie. So you get into these situations, and it's about pattern recognition.
Yep.
Whilst on the profiling, just off the plain class factoring of the IVR benchmark using the naked scale, this is how they fall. This gives me the visibility about who's got quality, who has lesser quality, and I'm looking for the arbitrage. But then what happens is you now have to start playing with the fundamentals of, okay, do you feel this horse is tapering to the negative, or are you of the view, no, it was an overall flat run, a rebound's on the cards. Okay, what confidence does the trainer give you? It's a lightly raced horse. Can this horse do it again? I sit back and say, well, that's a challenge, right? It's a challenge that he could do it, but does that warrant my money? And this is the last art form. Does it warrant my money? And it's hard for me to say yes because I've identified that pattern and that's not a good sign for me. I'm not saying the horse can't win. It just means when I have to put my chips in, I can't be with you.
Yes. All right. Well, there's two more than the next two that do profile like Set to Peak. First of it, and I'm just going by your most advantage on the early edition. The first of which is Comfort Me, a real interesting runner. So Comfort Me, we put a big stamp on him, and unusually, he's got a higher PB on this last run than the favourite Western Empire. I'll read what we wrote, and then you can break it down further. This is Comfort Me here from the 6th of November. It was a really impressive win, 4.1 lengths above benchmark, best of the day. We were on the fence about including him in his lead-in win when a sound 1.8 lengths above benchmark ranked second of the day, but here he's just smashed that, saying he's at stakes level IVR time-wise. 4.9 lengths above benchmark at the 800. Stalk in the lead was good speed before plus 2.2 mid-race, plus two last 400, including a late taper last 200. While he won twice at Belmont in June, he'd never previously broken benchmark, so he's clearly a slow-maturing benchmark, deserves ongoing respect going forward. How do you rate his chances here?
Yeah, he's so hard. That last two runs are where the big movements come in this particular horse. There were some little signs in past performances, like there was an Ascot performance going back in January where the horse did win, but it was such a poor performance, like almost six lengths below IVR benchmark. But then the horse had a horror slowdown in the mid-race. He dropped about 8.5 lengths. In fact, his momentum flow continued. So it was in excess of that when I bring in inside the 400 to the 200-metre mark. He only got going in the last 200 metres. So he probably lost around 13 to 14 lengths. So it made that run look particularly poor in terms of overall, but it was all race shape that really destructed the horse. So there were some possibilities there. There was also another run last campaign where the horse won at Belmont, and you look at that breakdown over 1,400 metres. It was a comfortable winner, but it was only a length below benchmark, Ralphie. But again, what I noticed with that particular day was, not saying this was a negative, but it was a negative in terms of performing higher overall. But the first two-thirds of the race was run 10.5 lengths below benchmark. It's so hard to run time over 400 metres. It's just so difficult. But he showed that super strength. And then that was the end of the campaign. They went and found themselves in a brutally run race subsequent, and it was the big negative to the horse. This time in, two starts back, plus 1.8. That was strong. All sections above benchmark, Ralphie, had plenty of merit. There was a taper at the end. Now, that taper at the end of around 1.7 lengths, for me, that was the clear signal. That's all about conditioning, which I like that. Then went to Ascot, went very fast through that first section, plus 4.9, and pretty much maintained that line to the finish line overall, but that last 200 metres, we've seen a taper. Now, what's that taper from? For me, it was just the horse being asked to use so much energy through the first two-thirds of the race. You're entitled to have a little bit of a negative towards the end, so nothing to be alarmed by. From my point of view, it's an extra 100 metres. But now here we are, 1,600 metres, fast-run race. Are you going to bring the 4.1 off a 14-day backup? That's the challenge.
Right.
Can you do that? So, again, professionally, to look at it from a money point of view, it's very hard for me to put my money on with that setup.
Right. So the talent, the run was enormous, but 14 days, that just gets you a bit wary because you've got to go big and big again.
Yeah, because one of the things that I've learned, sometimes as we've learned over the years, Ralphie, about the gut busters, right?
Yes.
When you have horses early in their campaign, now, this horse had a reasonable level of fitness, I felt. But this 4.9 is at the outer end of its range in terms of speed.
Yes.
Now, here we are. It is a go-forward horse. They're going to try and look for a position. They're not going to be looking for a position in the lead. But let's say they're going 6-8, 5-8. Where's this horse going to be? Well, he's going to be 4 or 5. That's roughly where he's going to be.
Yep.
If they're going 8, he's going to be going 4 or 5 lengths above benchmark. If they're going 6, he's going to be going plus 3 because he's going to be camped off one pair off that lead pack. Now, if they get a lot further back, then he's got new problems. His sprint over the last 400 metres won't be able to match some of the others, so that becomes a challenge. So he is in advantage to be in a forward position, not leading, of course, but he's going to be governed by race pace. So his best chance of winning is this. Get a race, where they go plus 3 to 5. He's running benchmark and being maybe 4 lengths off that lead speed, getting just another pair back, which might not be an instruction they put in play, and that would be his best chance of winning.
So Nucky finds a slot from wide and gets in.
And that's what he's got to hope for. Yep. But if he's going to go wide, you know what he's going to do? He's going to roll forward to get the spot.
Yep.
And which then what are you going to do? Try and hold him up?
Yep. There you go. All right. So then that leads me to this one. Mm-hmm. I'm definitely going to take a trifecta with her to run second or third. And there it is, this horse, KC. It's $34. She's probably a runaway. Maybe they're only at the Kingston Town. But from everything you've described, you want a horse that's got some freshness about it, but it's got some talent. It gets out of the lead pack and it'll be finishing strongly. We know this horse. We've given her a good tracking over the last two years. She, of course, she's got a Group 1 under her belt winning the Oaks back in 2019. She was good last year. She was just too far out of it in the railway. But she was in the market at $10. I think she had a bad day too because she had a bit of betfairitis that day off a very solid 1,400 win. She was good late last start, but very late. And what's your overall assessment of her?
It was a terrific building run because when you look at the first up run, 13.7 below benchmark, just ambling out marginally better than a barrier trial speed, if not somewhere thereabouts like a barrier trial. Massive improvement second up, as you can see. Look at the shift in speed. I know it was still 5.5 below, but for this horse, what that means is they were still running this horse. They were asking the horse to be where it felt comfortable. You could tell, right? And then you measure it up against the numbers and you say, well, there it is. They weren't trying to get the horse to be super competitive early. What they were doing is just get out there and be yourself, find your feet. And that's fantastic, because what I noticed is there's an 8-length improvement in early speed, staying at 1,400, which is not an advantage to this horse, although under certain circumstances it can be okay. But what obviously can't be denied is the overall last 800 metres. It was a plus 9.6, which was dynamic. There was a slowdown of 3.1 lengths between the 4 and the 2. That impacted the horse. Ralphie could have easily finished another 2 lengths closer. And they're the little signs that you look for in terms of saying, okay, this horse is on the up and we're heading in the right direction. There is a level of capness to the horse in terms of where it sits capability-wise. It's firmly somewhere in that mid-2s, low-3s range.
Yep.
So that's the downside. But, of course, in its favour will be there's not going to be that many horses that are going to run 2.5 or higher, and this horse is probably ready to go to that level tomorrow, which means you have to be respected.
At $34. And this is the thing, I suppose, about the Chaos Theory. The one thing about her Chaos is she won't be in the forward pack no matter what happens. So.
No, she won't be. She'll be out the back with a couple of others. The other runner that I thought one shouldn't just totally dismiss is this Platoon.
Yeah, the veteran.
Yeah, it's a veteran. It's a long price. It's just put in your multis if people are inclined to play that way, because I get it. Short price, not that easy to chime into it, and may not work for you in terms of wanting to back other runners, and therefore a multi could be a strategy, and that'd be one horse you'd want to at least put in, along with a few others.
Well, he ran, I've aged him a bit, he's only 6, and he ran third in a serious railway stakes from 2 years ago. So that was when Regal Power won, before he went on to win the All-Star Mile, 4.2 lengths above benchmark. That's what you're saying there, Vince, and probably under that circumstance, it's a pressure-free set up for him.
Yeah, so the other reason why this horse has just come to prominence. When that first up run, 12.5 below, we're just talking about KC, right?
Yep.
You have a look at the close in this horse. Last 400 metres was plus 5.3.
Yeah.
But then have a look at the second start, Ralphie. Three big improvement, massive improvement, right? This is one run further ahead than KC, right? Conditioning-wise, because you were just talking about at the beginning saying, it just might be one run short, right? Now, that exposure comes in a high-pressure race, that one run short comes to the table. And there's the setup that the trainers may be still aiming for something else. Whereas Platoon, second up, big improvement of around 8 lengths early, big improvement in the mid-race, and then we've had a minor detraction late. And then last start, the horse has improved again. But this time, what I noticed was this. The mid-race squeeze above benchmark last start off a 0.4 above was 6.6 above versus the start before was 3.4 below with only a 4.1 above. See, you can have a level of exertion, but then how far above the benchmark are you in that section in the mid-race? That determines the quality of performance and output in terms of, you know, energy. And there it was very high. So this horse looks set to go. When I look at the taper at the end, I said, oh, yeah, that's a 100% conditioning blowout of a couple of lengths. He's set to run probably plus two. That's not going to get you victory. But if he runs 2.5, 3, all of a sudden, he looks like he's a chance to take one of those slots at a big price.
$61, absolutely. Yeah. So we haven't touched on the second favourite here, Kiss on All Four Cheeks. It won last week. It's on the seven. So obviously it's on the 7 day backup. Mm-hmm. A soft pressure lead speed in a small field last week. This won't be soft pressure, and it's got barrier one, which I'd assume would be a big negative for the horse. What's her level of talent relative to a high pressure mile?
Well, one thing, great rider. Every bit as good as Pike, in my opinion. When we look at, and he's been actually outperforming Pike. He's been out-strategising him in a number of races recently, which is very interesting when you look at battle of tactics between two good riders, or top riders. This run last start, 2 lengths below benchmark. It's good speed for this horse. If it runs to that sort of level tomorrow through the first section, which is what I'm anticipating, somewhere around that, it's probably going to be borderline in the strike zone. So may find itself right on the back edge around that minus six, but you've got to around 6 lengths off that lead speed. Obviously, the favourite's going to be behind this runner, so it is going to get battle of tactics, but that mid-race and the close was huge. 6.7 above IVR benchmark from the 8 to the 4, that's massive. Last 400 plus 4.8. The taper at the end was only 0.8 of a length, means the horse is going to come right to its top, this mare, tomorrow. Now, can you... Well, I have no doubt the horse is going to find at least a length. That puts you into the mix. Can you find a bit more? Well, maybe he doesn't have to find more. It's just whether the others get clean runs or not.
Hmm. All
right. So, Parnham will be off the fence. Make no mistake. He'll start on the fence, but he won't stay there.
Right.
This is well, there's always these chances where you get jammed in, but these guys, they know where to go.
Yes.
They know what to do, and they know they're not going to stay. They're going to stay on the fence until it suits them.
Yep.
As soon as they see that gap, they're going to look for it.
So when you refine your work tomorrow, we expect to see this in the top four in your most
advanced. Well, it's hard to not for it not to be considered.
Yeah. All right. So there's some chance of traffic, some chance of well, there's always various chances there, but it's in the mix. But it's second favourite. But really, when it's all said and done, Western Empire is the dominant horse there. It's entitled to be odds on, and a couple of big odds for multis for consideration: KC and Platoon. But you've gone through the other main chances. Anything I missed?
No, Ralphie.
Make it nice and simple. All right, let's go to the WA Guineas, and this is a bit more of an open race, but it's also a bit more of a head scratcher. Again, we've got this dominant stable of Williams and Pike, and Treasured Star looked absolutely dynamic in its Northern maiden win and at Ascot in the midweeker, and then last start. You always say about beware the unlucky runner, but you couldn't have been more unlucky. So how are you measuring Treasured Star as the favourite?
Yes, well, probably not as short as the other runner, is it?
No.
So that's probably an advantage.
Exactly. Oh, and Blinker's first time.
Yeah. Well, this is just one horse, no ceiling. At the moment, it sits on plus one. It was two starts back. It's been best of the day twice with the exception of last start, but you've brought a bit of clarity to that. It's just so hard to see this horse not improving further, of course. He shapes up as the type of runner that can settle, relax, and have a finish. You got to do it at a mile. This is a race where it's not. There might be some overexertion just naturally because horses are stepping out to the 1600 for the first time. They'll be very fit, so there'll be some energy, speed, I call it, that'll come into play. But ultimately, it's hard to see this horse not running the mile and not at least at the bare minimum returning what it did two starts back. It should be improving off that, right?
Yep.
So, yeah. So, I couldn't put anybody off it. Now, from a betting point of view, this race is this. Well, this run is not a runner that I'd back, right? Not because it can't win. We're a mile first time, and if I was told the pace was going to be average, and or slower, then I'd be comfortable. I'd consider it as a betting strategy. But if they go fast, I don't know what can happen. This horse may not find.
Yeah.
You don't know.
It's based on the unknown, as you're wearing it.
Yeah, and that's all it is.
Yeah.
It's not because it's a race that you can't say there's going to be a winner. It's just how do you want to tackle it?
You've got Buzz Zoom as most advantage on your early edition. How are you assessing its chances on the quick backup from last week?
Can't fault it in terms of fitness levels. Now had the opportunity out to a mile. Off a slow pace. There you go. See, slow pace. We're off in 9.8.
Yep.
But couldn't have been stronger late, like super strong. No negative late. In other words, improved its performance over the last 200 metres. That means no sign the horse is dropping off and coming to the end of the campaign. And good to have that test first time round at a mile. So you know this horse is definitely going to get a mile.
We sizzled her from best of the day on the 2nd of November, and I suppose that's also another tick to go into a soft tempo mile after a good pressure 1400.
For sure. And it's one of these scenarios, Ralphie. Don't think for a moment that Treasure Star's a superior horse to Buzz Zoom. It's not.
Yep.
They're about the same. So there's no way that other horse is far superior. It's impossible at this stage to have that thought process.
On what's been exposed.
Exactly.
Yep. It's a Ray Day is the second favourite for the race. Is it done enough and or it looks like it's going to get the perfect run notionally, but it's, as you said, there could be a chance of some overexertion.
Well, the beauty is, of course, it's going to be in a forward position, comes from the right stable. The crazy thing for them is this. It's just, can they control that early tempo?
Yep.
1,200 metres plus 2.6. We get up to 1,400 metres, it's going 4.5 above, right?
Yep.
Had a softening in the mid-race, finished off strong. Gives all the signs that the 1,600 is going to be okay. But have they got this horse under control with early speed? Because you don't want to be finding yourself in a race and going plus 4.5 and expecting you're going to be able to run out hard mile at this point of your life. It's only had a handful of starts. They usually need more racing. Now, the very, very top horses, they do the freaky things, but I'm not putting this horse at that level. So, if they can get away with that first section going benchmark, then everything becomes dangerous.
Well, this horse started odds on, but the second favourite in that race was Devoted. We know, you've underlined what an amazing camp the Williams team is. I know they got Treasured Star, but it's not unusual for this camp to win a big race with an outsider. Has it shown anything under the bonnet? Because you've got it as the big odds horse in your most advantage.
Yeah, very hard horse to fault. Performances, that first up run at Northam in the maiden broke benchmark. It was best of the day, so that's always a great sign. Just sort of been nowhere runs, but they're not negative performances. Last start, for example, that 1,400 metres, the horse lost 1.7 between the 4 and the 200. It's a critical point to lose it, particularly when you come inside that 400-metre mark and get towards that 200-metre point. You don't really want to be losing momentum at that stage. This horse did, lost 1.8 lengths. That impacted the horse. I have no doubt he would have broken benchmark in that race and would have been much closer to the overall margin. So the margin's unfair, the 1.9. It could have easily have been half a length or less.
So in summary, for this race, you think it's for the fillies, you can't really put a ceiling on Treasured Star, but at the moment Buzz Zoom's just as good as it.
Absolutely, and they're the starting points.
Yep.
For me.
All right, because it's been a bit of a thin setup here as far as this card is concerned, in the main races. We're going to throw in I want to get your thoughts on the Carbine Club race 6 on the program, which is a listed race as well. How are you expecting the speed to be unfolding in race 6 on the program here, the listed race?
It's a good tempo, Ralphie. Everything that I could sort of glean from, whether it's metres per seconds, margins from leaders in terms of their positioning running, their early speed, off the meters per seconds. Everything sort of points to that we're going to go benchmark plus three. So good speed for a small field, but unlikely to be brutal, which is great, which is fantastic. That means all horses, particularly the stalkers, they get massive edges. Like a horse like Son of God, for instance, he's going to have a little bit of an edge. Who is the favourite for that race?
So the favourite for the race is Hot Zed over Son of God.
Yeah. Yeah, so Hot Zed's the other one going to be on the go forward speed. They seem to have things set up for on paces hard to run down.
Yep.
Which is a good thing if you're in a situation. It's a matter of who's going to be the furthest off the fence in the home straight over the last 250 metres. Then you'd be able to start separating the gap between that lead pack. And then is there anything going to come off speed that could make things very interesting?
So with I'll just get your thoughts on this rider too, because I'm doing my prep for doing this event. Obviously, I immersed myself in Victorian racing, but this Clint Porter's on fire with horses deep in the market at the moment. He's riding Son of God.
Yeah, riding superbly, can't fault it, and that's what you want. You want that type of situation. When they're in that form, you stick with them if you like them.
So you've got at a price here in your most advantage, Western Temple. So why are you considering Western Temple at this stage?
Well, I've just got to – we sort of touched on Northam.
Yep.
And what sort of come out of that race? Well, we know where one of those horses is going into that – was it Captain Chaos?
Captain Chaos, yeah.
Yeah, that you mentioned. And there's Western Temple in the same race. But when I look at what happened for that horse, it was 13.5 lengths above benchmark first section. It was just ridiculous, right?
It's as flat as a pancake last night.
Impossible.
Yep.
So, of course, it's an eight-year-old. So what it told me was this. You're 8 years old. They must have this horse feeling unbelievable. Now, to confirm that, whether it's just not in my mind and I'm, you know, having an illusion within myself thinking, this can't be right. But you just go back one run before, Kalgoorlie, 1,400 metres. That's Frank's that the horse's app must be feeling sensational. Look at what it did in that race. Went 3.4 below first section. Between the 8 and the 4 went plus 2.4, last 400. There it is, Ralphie. 6.4 above, as good as it's gone in its life.
Wow.
Unfortunately, and this is the unfortunate part, right?
Yep.
It's come out at its next start, and it's just hot tempo. Now, sometimes that can crush a horse, right?
Yep.
And it's the end of their life campaign. Now, I did go back through its history because it had a lot of racing. There was a performance that I found, Ralphie, early in its days, going back to 2017, where the horse went 9.4 above in an 1,800-metre listed race at Ascot. So, and then there was another run that I found at Belmont where it went 11.9. So it gave me a little bit of comfort, even though this was a record, a 13-point, that maybe you can recover. And here we are. They went to Ascot 1,400, complete flat run. Look at the reversal in speed. The horse lost about 14 lengths. That's the sign. But still showed good tenacity in the mid, going 3.5 above. And then had a savage slowdown between the 4 and the 2. Horse lost 5 lengths, Ralphie. And then picked up again. So one that you wouldn't want to just throw in the bin and say, no, this is a horse. Make sure that if you do any exotics, you have him in there. He's definitely capable of turning up and running big.
Well, he's there at $26. The Spruger's won 6 of his last 7, including his last 5. What substance has he got under the bonnet?
The Spruger. Nice name, isn't it?
It is a nice name.
you got to laugh about that, the Spruger. Well, the thing about the Spruger is it knows how to win, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, absolutely.
Hard horse to assess. Nothing in the trials. I mean, there was some improvement on the very last trial, but nothing to get any insight on. All I know is this. It's got a plus one to its name, and they're obviously aiming to get the horse going first up here. Why couldn't the horse turn up and run plus one? So if the horse turns up and run plus one, you need around somewhere between 1 and 1.5 to win. You're there.
Yes.
So parade can be very important. It's got a good handy rider on board. 1,400 metres should be fine. Barrier trials just wasn't enough for me to stamp it that you're going to turn up at a new level. So I'm just sitting there saying, okay, well, you could just run at least one plus one, and that puts you in the mix.
And I better round it off with for our mate Kev, who's kept a share in Nerf Bosk, I think, somewhere along the lines. But he gave us a lot of fun last year tracking him. This time in, not going as well, but he was in that brutal Northern race. And then last week, he had severe traffic that was mentioned in the stewards report from the inside barrier. Is he a chance at double figure odds?
Yeah, well, he got caught, like you said, Ralph, in that run at Northern plus 10 points. That was so hot. And then last start, at least, yes, was more like where he needs to be, nice and cruisy with the speed, big movement in the mid. I'm just not 100% sure about the 7-day backup. I just found that really interesting that they've gone for a 7-day backup back to the 1400. Now, at his apps, there has been some performances there where if he was able to replicate that, like Ascot back
at this track distance last year. Yep.
If he repeated that, then he'd be in the mix. The challenge is, it just doesn't look like the right setup. Now, it's similar in some ways, because last campaign they went 15 back to 14, but the setup is completely different in terms of what the horse is at the face race shape-wise, and it's different in its campaign, so I couldn't line them up, and I felt it's just such a hard horse to be on side with this time. If it won, would I sit there and say, how did you win? No, I could say I could find a reason for it, but you can't find my money.
Well, all right. Well, speaking of money, how are you surmising this for those who want to play in the race?
Probably have to wait till tomorrow morning, Ralphie, when we have another deep dive on the race later this morning. Yeah, right now, I'm not sitting here saying that I'm putting money in this race at this stage.
All right. So the early editions are out now. You've got that, along with the program, if you've got our upgraded package, we'll get that to you about, late morning as well. So really appreciate you being part of Year Round Carnival Preview Edition of Railway Stakes Day.